Some people might wonder why we do this question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism. They might even be wondering, what in the world is the Heidelberg Catechism? Because they've never, ever heard of the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, people like myself, who grew up in the Christian Reformed Church, remember the era when once every Sunday, you had to have a sermon that was based on a Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, what is a Lord's Day? Well, I'm going to try to make this very simple so everybody understands what a Lord's Day is. There are 52 weeks in every year, and there are 52 Lord's Days. So every Sunday, the preacher would use one of those Lord's Days and a passage of Scripture, of course, to explain some truths. And that's what we've been doing. It's an old document, but it was a teaching device. And so what you would do is, nowadays, and when I was a pastor, I would have what was called a catechism class. And young people would come there, and I'd teach them what is taught in all of these Lord's Days. So that's why we're reading this, because it's a tool to help us understand what the Scripture teaches us about prayer, which we've been studying lately. So now I'm going to read the question, and we're all together going to say the answer. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. And the scripture that we're going to look at is first from the Old Testament. It's a familiar story that you might remember from Exodus chapter 15. Well, actually, chapter 16. Let's get the chapter right so we're in the right place if you happen to be following along. So it's Exodus chapter 16. I'm going to read the first five verses. Then I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, and I'm going to read more of that chapter also. And then we'll turn to John 6 after that. When we get into this picture, the Israelites have been delivered from Egypt. They were captive there, as many of you know. And by God's mighty arm, they're delivered out, and they go through the Red Sea, and now they're in the wilderness. Well, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." And then later on, we read these words as we go down a little bit farther. We're going down to verse 13. "That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, then thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, 'No one is to keep any of it until morning.' However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with him. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded. And it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is the Sabbath of the Lord. You will not find any on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. I guess it was like something you could buy at Yarsma's or some other place, you know, sweet to eat. And so the Lord commanded, "Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see in the bread I give you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." Now, what does all of this mean? We'll find out more as I read this next passage of Scripture as we turn to John chapter 6. This is verse 32. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth." Whenever Jesus says that, by the way, it's like all of a sudden a bell goes off in my head. "I tell you the truth." He's not just saying that in order to just have conversation. He's saying, "I tell you the truth," so that you will pay special attention to these words of the Lord. "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Does that sound familiar from last week? He's not doing his will, but the will of the one who sent him. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth." There it is again. "I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it seems to me that we don't always trust in God for everything, for what we need for every day. I'm going to give you some examples of how people don't trust in God. When I was a younger man, my wife and I lived in Ogden, Utah. And I got a job. And this was a job that was for an organization, if I remember correctly, it was ABI, Always Buy Intelligently. But as I was in this business for a little while, I found out what it was really about. Because you see, the Mormons did not trust that God would always take care of them. So what my job was to go and sell them lots of food, lots of toilet paper, and lots of everything, so that they could store it in some room, in some place, and be prepared for whatever might come. Because after all, they weren't really trusting God for their daily bread. They were going to take care of it themselves. I didn't last very long in that job. I never sold one thing. And the reason was pretty simple. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that this is the way we were supposed to live our life. It's pretty hard to sell something if you don't believe it. And they could pick up on that right away, I'm sure. I'd come in and I would tell them, this is what we're doing. We give you all, you can get all these canned goods, you can get all this toilet paper, you can have all these towels, you can have all this stuff, you can store it all. And then, no, I wasn't going to tell them that. Because, see, that wouldn't be trusting in God. That would be trusting in what you could do and how you could carry it out. Now, there's a story in the Bible that might hit a little bit more to home than that one. It's found in Luke. It's found in Luke. A lot of great stories are found in Luke. But I'm going to read this one from Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. I say that probably hits a little closer to home than me telling you about the Mormons. Because there's nothing wrong with having silos for grain and things like that. But what's wrong in this is that he was trusting in what he had and he was going to take care of himself. He wasn't going to trust in God. He's just going to build bigger barns and it was all going to be okay. Everything was going to take care of itself. But Jesus says to him, you're a fool because tonight you're going to die. You see, he was storing up the wrong thing. He was rich in grain and poor in God. And we are to be rich towards God. And when we're rich towards God, then we trust that he'll meet our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't trust in ourselves, our own ingenuity, our own way to do things. Now, how do people my age think, or maybe a little younger too, but we have to get a retirement fund, right? We have to have that retirement fund. This is my retirement fund, by the way. I'm not quitting because this is what God calls me to do, but you know how it works. Even watch an ad on TV, do you have enough? Do you have enough set away? Do you have enough stored up? Is your account full enough in order that you can meet your needs for however long you're going to live? You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how many needs you have, but God knows how long you're going to live, and he knows what you need. You need to trust in him. Now, I'm not saying don't have a retirement account, but don't trust in that. Trust in God. Because I see more people worrying about it. Well, I don't have enough. You know, how can I ever retire? I can't. get enough money. Well, that's not trusting God. That's trying to plan everything for yourself. So we have to trust in God for everything. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 gives us some real wisdom. Give me neither poverty or riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. See what he says? Give me just my daily bread. We ought to be satisfied with whatever we have every day because it's a gift from God. He gives us what we need. So we have to be satisfied with that. Now, the Israelites weren't so terribly satisfied, were they? They saw all these miraculous signs in Egypt. They were brought through the Red Sea on dry ground. Pharaoh and his hosts were vanquished, but now they're in a desert, and I like it that this is called the desert of sin. I don't think that's accidental, but it's the desert of sin where they sin. I mean, they start to grumble against Moses and Aaron. Why did you bring us out here? Did you just bring us out here to die in a desert? I mean, when we were in Egypt, we had it so good. Oh, boy, they had short memories. They did not have it so good. They had to make straw for their own bricks. They had to build. They had to do whatever Pharaoh told them. But they thought they had food. You know, we had all this in our pots. And now what do we have? Nothing. Nothing at all. They're in the desert. Over 2 million of them in the desert. That's a lot of people to feed. Over 2 million people in the desert where there is no food. Not a problem for God, of course. I didn't read the part about him sending the quail because I'm dealing with the bread aspect of it today. So he sends them this manna. What is it? He sends them manna in order to sustain them. And it's all over the place. But they didn't trust God. What did they do? Oh, wow, there's manna. Let's get enough. Oh, we can even get more. We can have enough and more. Because God said, take enough for every day. Get your daily bread, that's enough. But they didn't trust God, did they? And when you don't trust God, this is what happens to all that you take for yourself. It turns to maggots. It does. It did for them because they didn't trust God. And so all they had the next day was a bunch of maggots. I don't know about you, but I'm grossed out by maggots. You know, I don't like them at all. So they have maggots. But that's not the only time they didn't trust God, right? Well, after all, they found out, well, we take more than one day, we get maggots. So when he says on the last day before the Sabbath to take two times as much, because there wouldn't be any on the Sabbath day, then they still, well, we better only take one day's worth because after all, it turns to maggots if we take 2 days. So they didn't trust God again because here's what they did. They took one. And when God says take two and you take one, then you go hungry because you don't have what he's supplied. And see, God can preserve manna because at the end of the story, he says, I want you to take this and I want you to put it in the ark, right? It didn't turn into maggots because this was God's constant reminder to the people that's how he provided for them in the wilderness. He gave them the bread of heaven and it met their daily needs. But now, this is not the true bread of heaven. This only points us to the bread of heaven. This points us to Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. I don't think the Israelites had any idea that that was happening, but Jesus knew. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. That manna was not the bread of heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. And that's where our trust has to be. That's what we have to realize. He is the bread of heaven. Jesus is. Manna, they all died, but manna was only meant to point us to the true bread of heaven, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus says that he's going to make you so you'll never be hungry, you'll never be thirsty, you'll have everything you need if you feast on him, because he's the true bread of heaven. No one who believes in him and eats of him through faith will ever hunger and thirst, for they'll have everything that they need, everything that they need. Jesus makes the sure promise. Let me read it again so you hear it plainly again from Luke chapter 6. My bookmark fell out, didn't you know it? But I do know where Luke is found, so we're going to get there eventually. Luke chapter 6, Jesus made this great promise. In verse 4. Well, I got lost myself. Oh, no wonder I'm in Luke. I'm supposed to be in John. My bookmark didn't fall out. I just didn't go. I thought, Luke 6? No, see, even pastors get confused now and then. So we're going to go back to where we're supposed to be in John chapter 6. I have too many bookmarks in my Bible. I have a Bible reading program that I read 4 different passages every day. So I have a bookmark by each passage, and that's how I got into Luke, because that's where I'm reading right now. So anyway, whether you want to believe it or not, that's my explanation of how I got lost. But that is what I'm doing. So anyway, Jesus says, let me read it again, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And he doesn't want me to lose any of them. I'll lose none of them, but raise them up on the last day. So that's the great promise. We'll never go hungry, we'll never be thirsty if we believe in Jesus. This is not an act of physical doing of something by us. This is an act of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the one sent by the Father to save everyone who believes in him. This is an act of faith. Now see, the Israelites had to act in faith too. They had to go out there and they had to gather, and they had to gather exactly what God said. They had to do what he said. But we have to act in faith too. We have to believe that Jesus was sent from the Father, and that everyone who believes in him will never be hungry and will never be thirsty and will never die. I hope you all believe that, because that's what's necessary to have everyday bread. We have to believe in Jesus. He is our eternal life. Those who eat Jesus' flesh will never die, but they will live forever. He says that again and again in this passage, doesn't he? And he also makes the point that no one can get away. If they're mine, they're mine. They're not going to get away. What the Father gives to me cannot escape. And Jesus is our daily bread. You are never going to die if you believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, that body that you're in, it's going to die. If he doesn't come again, my body's going to die if he doesn't come again, but I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever in the presence of God. Oh, what rejoicing it will be when we all get to heaven, because then we'll see Jesus, the true bread of life. We're not going to die. Those Israelites all died. They perished in the wilderness. But if you eat of Jesus Christ through faith, you will live forever. Maybe there's someone here who hasn't trusted in Jesus Christ. I hope all of you do. But it's entirely possible as I'm speaking that someone listening on air or someone here today has not put their trust in Jesus Christ and is not feeding upon him in faith. They just come to church. They like coming to church. They like singing the songs. They like the people. But only one thing gives you eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. So every time you and I pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're doing more than praying that you satisfy our needs today. We are doing that, for sure. But we are doing more than that. We're saying, give us Jesus Christ, that he may live in us and dwell in us, and we may have full life in him, in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our daily bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And God has given him to us for that very purpose. Now, there's a principle. If God has done the greater, he can certainly do the lesser. If God has done the greater, he can certainly do the lesser. And God has done the greater. He's died, he's risen from the dead, and he's given eternal life to everyone who believes in him. So now, are you going to worry about today? Are you going to worry about tomorrow? Can't he supply your needs? Didn't he supply the needs of over 2 million people in a desert where there was nothing to eat? He sent them quail. He opened up rocks with water. He gave them manna every day so that they could eat. The perfect food. He fed 5,000 when he was here on earth. He just took a couple loaves and multiplied them, and they all ate until they were full. Then he did it with 4,000 because he's the bread of life. Jesus is the source of all what we need for every day. If you look to yourself or someone else, you're looking in the wrong place. Jesus is our daily bread, but much, much more than that. He's our bread to eternal life. He's our bread to eternal life. And we must feast on him every day by believing in him. It is belief in him. That's how we eat of him, through faith in him. We believe what he said about himself. We trust him that he can save us. And so he established a time for us to physically do that also, to see it acted out, as it were, when we take communion together. Because there we eat through faith of Jesus Christ, body and blood, and we're nourished to eternal life, to the complete forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the true bread of life. And we must trust in him and him alone. I hope that you put it on your calendar the next time we're going to have communion. December 3, if you want to know. Anyway, that's when it's going to be. But you should know that. You should be here. You should participate. But don't just wait for that day. Today, and every day of your life, eat of the bread of life through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust him that he'll supply all your daily needs, because he's already done the greatest thing of all. He can certainly give you food today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for providing all of our needs every day. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming again and that we'll all go to heaven if we trust in him. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.